program. We're going to start today with a conversation with Hernan Kaza. Hernan is the co-founder and managing partner of CazTech Ventures based in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And I first met Hernan almost 10 years ago, I think it was about 2007, when I went down to Buenos Aires to consult for Mercado Libre, which is the company Hernan and Marcos Galperin founded in 1999, was it, Hernan? So this was the beginning of my getting to know the Latin American internet startup scene. I wasn't really covering it or following it until that point, but since then, I've paid a lot more attention. The world has paid a lot more attention. So welcome, Hernan. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much. Great for having me, and fantastic to reconnect after such a long time.
Yes, it's been a long time. So tell us a little bit about your activities since we last interacted. You were still at Mercado Libre, but I know you've switched to being a VC for a while, and you did send me a notification, so I have kept up with that. But tell us, what have you been, up to since then?
Of course. Yeah, so as you were saying, we met, I think it was 06, 07.
Yeah, 07.
It was probably prior to Mercado Libre's IPO. We went public.
No, it was right after. You went public, I think, in the summer of 2007, and we connected November.
Great. So we went public in August 2007, and since then, the company kept on evolving well. At the time, it was mainly a marketplace with a payments platform on top of it. But the marketplace business was the largest business. Then the payment business grew significantly. Today, payments is larger, not surprisingly, than the marketplace. And I stayed in the company. First, I was COO for 9 years. And then after the company went public, I became CFO until the year 2011. And in 2011, together with Nicolas Secassi, who was also one of our partners at Mercado Libre and who had been actually the first CFO of the company, and he was the one that took public the company in 2007, we both got together to start CazTech Ventures with the idea of creating a venture capital firm focused in Latin America. During our years as entrepreneurs there, we saw the big opportunities that technology was bringing to the region, but we also saw that on the one hand, there was lack of capital, and on the other hand, there was more importantly, lack of experiences, people that had operated in the technology business, that had started in a garage and taking the company public, and so forth. So we thought there was a good opportunity to help those entrepreneurs and to hopefully building the next Mercado Libre in the region. That's why we got started as Ventures. We started with the first fund at the end of 2011. It was a close to $100 million fund. That fund today is fully invested. We invested in 24 companies. And in 2014, we raised a second fund, slightly larger, $135 million. And we're currently investing out of that fund.
So, Hernan, give us an overview. You've been at this game from the very beginning of the Latin American technology-enabled services market. So tell us a bit about how has that startup activity world evolved?
Great.
I think there's a delay in the video versus the audio. So those of you who are experiencing that delay, this is the first time we are seeing that. I think WebEx has just upgraded their platform, and it's got some glitches. So just, don't mind it, but we will keep talking at real time. So go ahead, Hernan.
Okay, great. As long as you hear me, I think that is more important than seeing me. Great. So, as you well said, we were probably the first wave of internet entrepreneurs, of technology entrepreneurs into the region. Latin America was off the radar screen of global players, of global corporations, of global investors. And at the time, we benefited from the internet bubble that really drew lots of attention in the US. And then it produced kind of a spillover effect into other areas of the world, being one of those, Latin America. So in the region, we saw not many technology investors getting into Latin America, but we saw lots of banks that assumed that, okay, this is the revolution. This revolution will happen globally. So we have in the U.S. probably the big established firms doing venture investing. So why don't we do the same thing in other parts of the world? So they created in Latin America kind of investment arms to play the venture capital role in our region. We benefited from that because that gave us access to capital. And actually what they were predicting was true. The only, I think, misjudgment was that it took longer than everyone expected for Latin America technology, Latin America internet to take off. So in 1999, we started Mercado Libre, and we got funds from those investors that allowed us to then start building slowly but steadily the business. In those times, internet penetration in Latin America was 2-3%. All of that was dial-up, so very slow connectivity. But slowly and steadily it started to grow, broadband started to become more popular. Obviously, in the last few years, mobile became a huge trend. And today, Latin America is a market in the technology world. It has evolved well. So today you have investors that are venture capitalists. You have some networks of angel investors. You have some seed funds. You have some accelerators. So there's an ecosystem compared to when we started Mercado Libre, there was nothing. But it's a nascent ecosystem, so still a long way to go. Some people that have more of a global view try to compare the current status of the Latin American ecosystem to that of China in probably 2006-07, just to give an idea to those that are familiarized with the Chinese market too. But clearly an ecosystem that is evolving well, and today is producing, I think, very good opportunities, and we feel that it's close to an inflection point, given that smartphone penetration is about 50% now, but more importantly, through 4G, through fast connectivity is becoming more popular. It's at around 20% today. Data plans are kind of limited, but offerings for more affordable data plan for basically continuous broadband connection are improving big time. So we feel that within the next 2 to 5 years, we're going to see almost everyone in the region, it's a region of 600 million people, we should be connected to the internet. That will offer great technology opportunities.
Now, when you look at the last, you know, decade or so, what are, besides Mercado Libre, what are other notable success stories from the Latin American market as far as startups are concerned?
Good. So there are a few companies that reached to the end of becoming public companies. There's one company called Globant.
Yes, we cover Globant quite extensively, actually.
Okay. Great. So Globant is one of the companies that became after Mercado Libre, but they were quite successful and are building a large organization and taking it public. There are two companies in Brazil, one called Tatus, which is kind of an ERP that was created out of the mergers of several small companies in Brazil, and that company is public in the Brazilian market. There's a company called Lynx, that serves particularly e-commerce companies, but they have several software pieces that help businesses connect more of a B2B offering that helps mm-hmm. businesses take advantage of technology, and that company became public probably 2 years ago. Then there are other large companies that were started at the time of Mercado Libre, and I assume that they are going to be public companies within the next couple of years. One is a company in the travel space called Decolar. It's quite large and probably the largest travel agency today in Latin America. There's a company that is in our portfolio called Net Shoes, which is started being a sporting goods retailer mm-hmm. in Brazil and expanded into other verticals, so clothing, apparel in general, fashion, and that is a great company too. There's another terrific company that appeared more recently, but it's having tremendous traction, called Nubank, which is an online bank in Brazil, completely mm-hmm. branchless. So there are a few good companies, and our portfolio gets started when companies are in their Series A, and those companies are evolving, so we feel that we have a few that will certainly follow Mercado Libre's path.
And what, if you were to summarize the trends that you see, how do you synthesize the trends of the industry?
Right. Interesting. I think the companies that end up succeeding or gaining good traction around the region are companies that are working on local friction points, on things where being local gives you an edge versus being global. So in a way that was the case of Mercado Libre, right? The model was out there, and today I think the Mercado Libre software is great, probably the platform is one of the best globally for marketplace, but clearly that wasn't the case when we started the company, and there were other global platforms with much better functionalities and faster speed and lots of things. But that was not the only thing that you needed to develop to create a marketplace. You needed to get access to local supply. You needed to have a local payment. You needed to solve local logistics. You had to solve fraud, which the type of fraud that we were facing in Latin America was different to the type of fraud that maybe eBay was facing in the U.S. or in Europe. So there was a reason why you had to be local. Obviously, in technology, there's never ever an absolute competitive advantage, but the fact that you were local gave you an edge. Those are the things that I see growing. So when you look into some of the companies that we have in our portfolio, we have a company that does tax filing for Brazilian businesses. That is very local. You have to create a solution not only for the Brazilian market, but also for each one of the states in Brazil. Or when you think of Net Shoes, e-commerce, really you have to source your products locally, you have to ship them locally, you have to get paid locally, you have to finance that business locally. So it's a very local business. And then there are several marketplaces who have company in the real estate classified area, or we have a company that is called Quinto Andar, which is in long-term renting of apartments. And that is a very local business. So you clearly need to connect local demand with local supply, adjust the contract that at the end of the day you end up signing between the property owner and the renter within local laws. You have to make sure that the guarantee that they're providing for the renting of that property is local. So in our view, whenever you have significant reasons why the local player may succeed, is where you see good companies emerging. Yeah. So far, we haven't seen global players emerge from Latin America.
And have there been exits besides Mercado Libre and Globant, both of which went public in the U.S. stock exchanges? Have there been any other major exits
So there have been exits. Naspers bought a few companies in the region, and they started to create a significant presence, mainly focused on Brazil, but also with some regional presence. We've sold a few of our companies to global players that wanted to have local presence, that understood that the local edge was important, and the way to resolve that for them was to come down to Latin America and acquire those companies together with the talent that's wanted. Mm-hmm. So for instance, we sold a company called Eventios to Eventbrite. Mm-hmm. We sold a company called El Pedido Ya, the food delivery industry, to Delivery Hero. We recently sold a company called Love Mondays to Glassdoor, similar business model. And I think in those cases, what you see is the global players want to have a global presence, but understand that in some countries you need local teams to tackle those friction points that appear at the country level, and they resolve that by acquiring this company. So there have been a few acquisitions, not so big except for those that I mentioned, coming from Naspers. And there were a few IPOs, as I mentioned at the beginning. But I think that more will come. If you look at the size of the opportunity and the number of companies that have gone public or that have had significant exits, still small. And that's where we see a good opportunity coming in the next 5 years.
So, folks, those of you who are listening, just to clarify on the Naspers point, Naspers is a South African group that has been very active in the emerging markets and acquiring companies, and have created a portfolio of assets across different sectors. So they've been very active in India, very active in Brazil, and they've acquired companies in the online travel sector and so forth, so on. So Naspers has provided exits to a bunch of startups in the emerging markets and has been a significant player. So you're hearing Hernan mention Naspers. You'll hear that in other markets as well, that this is a group that has taken the strategy, so worth noting. Hernan, back to my line of questioning. The other question I have on scale of these companies. So, how many of these companies have reached over 10 million in revenues? How many have reached 50 million plus in revenue? And are there any that are over 100 million in revenue in the companies that have been formed in the last decade?
Well, certainly you have a little bit of everything. As you can imagine, there's a pyramid, so those that get over 100 million of revenues are a few, and you have lots that are at the bottom.
Are there any? Are there companies that have crossed 100 million in revenue?
Yeah, no, sir, certainly there are. We have a few in our portfolio. For instance, I was mentioning Net Shoes, and the company is over $1 billion in revenue. The companies I was mentioning that went public, obviously they went over that line. And so yeah, there are a few companies that have gone over $100 million of revenues. Many that have gone over 20 or 30. And then we have a portfolio. We have a lot that are above 10 and probably below 30, and those are the ones that we see growing significantly in the next few years. So companies like Nubank, like Diabol, so companies that have a significant growth trajectory going forward.
And what do you see ahead? So you described in a fair bit of detail what has happened in the last decade in terms of local focused companies making it big in Latin America. Is that the trend that you see in the next 5 years, next 10 years as well? Is that where the big companies, the major successes of Latin America are going to come from?
There are, so there are two aspects. One is, I think, the big overarching scheme is that one, but then you can go one level deeper into that analysis and to look into the different sectors. The first wave of growth came mainly out of consumer companies and more focused on e-commerce. The second wave came more related to B2B, so companies were surprisingly late to adopt product technology, but those companies started to find great opportunities around serving banks to solve a problem, serving large telcos, serving large financial institutions. So those companies have created significant solutions for the private sector and are growing very nicely. And then within more of a consumer aspect, you start to see more marketplaces emerging. Well, what is a marketplace for us? It's a platform that somehow connects supply and demand in an efficient manner, but could be supply of anything. And we've seen several of those appearing. I mentioned one, Quinto Andar, which is in the renting space for apartments. So that is one that in Brazil is a very friction market, and these guys are resolving that very well. And then there are a few areas where we've seen tremendous growth of opportunities within the last couple of years. One is fintech. We know in Latin America the penetration of financial services is not that high. Lots of small, medium-sized companies do not have access to financing, or lots of consumers do not have access to credit cards or financing either. And through technology, companies have found ways to distribute those products efficiently, and through technology, we're able also to find ways to control default rates in a more intelligent manner. So there have been lots of companies in the fintech area appearing within the last 2 years, and I think that will continue to be a trend, and some of those we think will emerge as leaders. So when we do this call again in 5 years, I'm sure that I'm going to be able to mention some of those as those companies that went over $100 million of revenues. Yeah. Then two other areas. One is education. We haven't seen that many things yet happening, but there are a few interesting companies. We're currently investing in one, so as soon as we close that, I'll let you know. But I think that there'll be more opportunities there. The other is health. Health is also an area where we feel, given that there are some parts of the supply chain that are broken in Latin America, well, those could be good opportunities for tech companies solving those problems. And one that we're going back to my first point, where we do feel that Latin America may have a great global edge, is around agriculture. Because if you look at farmers in Latin America and the way how they operate, how they integrate technology into their farming procedures, it's quite surprising the amount of technology they have there. And they are probably best in class compared to any farmer in a more developed market. And there we feel that there's an opportunity to create a company that can help those farmers take their production to the next level. And we're paying lots of attention to the sector, but so far we haven't found. There are lots of interesting small companies addressing some niches within those markets. Those companies are doing well. The shareholders of those companies maybe are enjoying decent dividends out of the company, but we haven't found yet one that has at least a significant sizable regional aspiration, or even more so a global aspiration. But we keep looking on it, and probably next year we will go for a third fund. And our hope is that in the third fund we would find at least a few companies in that sector.
So, you know, I'm listening to you that there are all these other companies that are probably not scaling at venture pace, but these are very important for the development of Latin America as an economy. These are extremely important to also develop nicely and steadily.
Very much so, yeah. Technology companies that are helping the real economy be more efficient is great, and also because those companies help the creation of an ecosystem related to technology. They hire people that are trained within those organizations, and then people growing within those organizations go to another organization or even start their businesses. So certainly that is very valuable, and as with any ecosystem, you need the big successes because they broadcast the sector to everyone, and people aspire to do that. But then you have lots of small companies that have real impact in the economy, not only because of what they are producing or where they are particularly adding value, but also because of the human capital that they create around them.
Yeah.
So very, very important, certainly.
So Hernan, one thing I would offer you is to put more focus and prominence on the Latin American companies in our coverage. So if you have companies both in your portfolio and in Latin America in general where the company has crossed $5 million in annual revenue, we have the ability to profile them in our Entrepreneur Journey series as we did Mercado Libre many years ago, 10 years ago. So we'll just send us the introductions and we'll make sure that they're scheduled in our editorial calendar.
Great. No, I will certainly do that. We have today in our portfolio probably 40 companies, take Fund 1 and Fund 2. And of those 40 companies, probably 20 at least, or even 30 are above that threshold. So more than happy
Perfect.
To share that with you, and it'd be great for them to be covered there.
We'll be delighted to cover them. So absolutely. So would you like to stay? We're going to go into the entrepreneur mentoring session. Do you have time to stay for maybe one presentation?
Certainly for one I do have, then I have to get into a board meeting, but
sure,
I do have time for one.